Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
He is the first in the world to develop therapeutics against COVID, and he is our special guest today on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, and our special guest is Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Doctor.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are so honored to have you. We really consider you a hero that has been speaking out against really what's going on regarding all this with COVID and the shots, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you so much.
We're going to be able to talk with Dr. Zelenko throughout this week on Faith and Freedom, but let's begin at the very beginning, and let's go back to the very beginning of COVID, Dr. Zelenko, and tell us about what you did in developing the first therapeutic treatment regarding COVID-19.
I prayed. Let me tell you, I was in the first week of March 2020, a family physician for the last 20 years in an upstate New York community, 35,000 people that live within a square mile of each other, a very high population density. And when COVID arrived, then it spread like wildfire through the community. We had at one point thousands of sick patients. It turned out to be the largest outbreak in the United States at that time, and the first actually. And there was no treatment at all. What we were telling patients is take Tylenol, go drink fluids, go home. If you get short of breath, go to the hospital. There, they ended up getting put on a respirator, and in certain hospitals in the New York area, 80% were dying, more than 80%. So that wasn't a treatment option. Now, I'm kind of like the old-time family doctor. I was told, I think this is one of the most significant compliments I ever had in my life, that I'm a family member to 4,000 families. And I really feel that way, and after being there for two decades, these aren't patients, they're family, they're friends, the people that I have multi-generational connection to.
So you take care of your family. Yeah.
But they were dying, and there was nothing to do with it. They were looking at me to help them, and there was no answer. So it's a terrible feeling. I hope no anyone ever has to experience that. But what I learned throughout my life for personal health reasons and other reasons, that if there's no solution, you have to find one on your own. You don't just give up. And so I literally prayed. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was distraught and not knowing what to do. The whole world was in lockdown mode and chaos and fear, myself included. And you know, for example, I would go to work. I have one lung. I'm on chemo. I've been living with cancer, and I used to think that this is my last day, that I'm going to go to work and I'm not going to see my family again. That was the chaos and the uncertainty of that time period. And an idea was given to me at 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember exactly when it happened. And that idea was based on kind of integrating knowledge together. In the Talmud, it says a very interesting thing, that God always gives the cure before the disease. And I felt that existing knowledge could be repurposed, reintegrated, and used in a smart, common sense way, and you can have better outcomes. So it's pretty pathetic, in my opinion, when common sense is considered genius in this generation. But all I did was use common sense. Here's the first principle is, if you treat someone earlier, they're gonna get better quicker, and the outcomes are gonna be better. I think that's absolutely common sense, and everyone just intuits that. Then I also realized that, well, I need to figure out who this virus is killing. So I called my colleagues that work in the intensive care units, and I asked them, who are you seeing? Who's dying? And they told me, well, it's the older patients and those with medical problems. Next question was, are you seeing the, you know, what about kids? What about younger people? They said, we're not seeing them in the ICU. So I figured out right away that this virus doesn't kill equally. So I developed very quick risk stratification criteria, because I didn't have enough resources. I used to see 50 patients a day, now we're seeing 250. Half my staff is sick, outpatient radiology and lab services are closed, hospitals at near capacity. It was a mass casualty event with no resources. So what I tried to do was triage send the people that were low risk home and dedicate my limited resources to the high risk patients. And what did I do? So I pulled together the data that and the treatment approaches from South Korea and France and kind of mashed it up into a cocktail that I thought would work. I tweaked the dosing to represent less acutely ill patients. And because I'm an outpatient doctor, my job is to keep people out of the hospital. And that's always been my orientation. And so I was seeing people at the beginning of the disease process, not the end. And so I just started treating them. And from that moment in time, with God's grace, I don't take any credit for it, people stopped going to the hospital. And it was so significant that I made a video and notified the Trump administration. And 16 hours later, I get a phone call from Mark Meadows, the president's chief of staff. That started my relationship with the Trump administration. Ended up speaking to Dr. Stephen Hahn, the commissioner of the FDA and the NIH, which was a dead end, and then Rudy Giuliani. And Rudy Giuliani did a podcast with me, which went viral and millions of people saw it. And my life has never been the same since. You know, governments have consulted with me. I've treated President Bolsonaro from Brazil and many very high level leaders from around the world that prefer not to be mentioned. And my data, initial observations, were published in the peer-reviewed journal with an 84% reduction in hospitalization and death. So out of 600,000 dead Americans, let's say, if we would have scaled this approach nationally, we could have prevented 510,000 deaths and even hospitalizations. This data has been subsequently corroborated by dozens of studies from around the world. So it's a medical fact. It's no longer an anecdote. It's no longer just one doctor making some type of claims. This is a medical fact. Hundreds, if not thousands, of physicians have trained, and now they're training their own physicians. And as a group, we've treated millions of high-risk patients successfully. So that's the perspective I bring.
And so you actually have been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, along with some other doctors, for your role in addressing the coronavirus pandemic. And you've achieved worldwide prominence for treating COVID patients with hydroxychloroquine and zinc and other protocols, nutraceuticals, and medications that were already FDA approved and very safe. And you're the one who actually recommended HCQ to President Trump. And I believe that's how this ultimately came about, where he talked about HCQ may be a good treatment. But then all of a sudden, things changed. And then
censored,
HCQ,
yeah,
that had been around for decades, and now, as you mentioned, lots of different studies support what you found, it all of a sudden got crushed and there was opposition to it. What happened?
The stakeholders realized that it works and had a vested interest in the suppression of this life-saving information and access to medication for unholy reasons.
Yeah. Now, and it is such a shame, because it is literally a crime against humanity what has happened, because this is, I've seen it personally in many, many people that I know recommending this protocol to them. And it has clearly worked every single time to every person that I have seen have these COVID symptoms, including the Delta variant. Dr. Zelenko, in terms of the kinds of protocol, somebody who's trying to prevent COVID, somebody who may have COVID early on, in say 30 seconds, can you run through some of those items that you have recommended as part of your therapeutic treatment?
Yeah, vitamin C and vitamin D are essential, not for COVID, but for general immune health. That's part of every protocol. Zinc inhibits viral replication. The problem with zinc is that it doesn't get into the cell in the right amount. So you need another compound called a zinc ionophore that helps zinc into the cell in the right concentration. There are four of them: hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, quercetin, and EGCG. The first two are prescription. The last two are available over the counter.
And they're also inexpensive as well, and they don't have the same fatal effects that this shot has.
Exactly. And that goes back to what Dr. Zelenko said, mm-hmm, the stakeholders, the pharmaceuticals,
right,
the others that had an agenda beyond the pharmaceuticals to use COVID as a broader global agenda. This didn't meet their narrative because it's very cheap. Many people could have been saved not having to go to the hospital at all. And so it was crushed. Even the Lancet Journal had to revoke its article against HCQ because it was based on false information. Our guest today and throughout this week is Dr. Zelenko. He is an Orthodox Jew. He is one who prayed, and God gave him this therapeutic treatment, the first in the world, board-certified family physician for over 20 years. Peer-reviewed work has accumulated more than 100 citations and was part of doctors who were recommended for the Nobel Peace Prize in treating COVID. For more information, you can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/vaccine, lc.org/vaccine.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.
Our very special guest today is Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. We're going to be talking about the COVID shots. Are they safe and are they effective? I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Dr. Zelenko, welcome to Faith and Freedom.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Zelenko was the first in the world to develop therapeutics against COVID, and as a practicing physician, board certified in family practice for over 20 years with lots and lots of patients in the epicenter of the United States, of the Jewish community, where all of this happened, and in other parts of New York, where it broke out, he prayed, and God gave him an answer as to how to treat COVID, and it was the first therapeutic treatment of COVID in the world, and as a result has been recommended for a Nobel Peace Prize. But Dr. Zelenko, now we have safe and effective treatment. You have gone through that, which includes, among other things, nutraceuticals, C, D, zinc, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, cheap to be able to get. But now we then rushed to this, what some people call a vaccine. It's really not, but we have these three, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. The first question is, are these safe?
So whenever you evaluate any therapeutic and make a risk versus benefit analysis, there are three factors that must be factored in. And safety is one of them, but a medical necessity and efficacy are others. And I think I'd prefer to handle the medical necessity angle because then it makes the other two moot, but I will explain the safety and efficacy as well, if that's okay.
Sure.
So medical necessity is just because you have a therapeutic or you have a capability, it doesn't mean you need to use it. And for example, if a surgeon operates on every patient that comes through the door, that's not a surgeon, that's a butcher, because he's not using medical judgment. And so just because we have a capability, let's say, we need to use discretion to see when it's appropriate to be used. So let's do that. Let's go through each demographic and see if there is a need for an intervention. So for example, if you go from the demographics of children, 0 to 18, that are healthy, the CDC says, this is not my numbers, these are the CDC, that the survival rate without treatment in 0 to 18 is 99.998% survival rate. I'll say that again, 99.998% survival rate. That means a near 100% of children, healthy children, will recover. This means that this is safer on children than the influenza virus.
And not that many are even getting it, right? The children aren't really getting the virus very often.
Actually, no. Most children are getting it, and they're just fine. So I for example, my 8 children, they all got it, and I didn't even treat them. They had runny noses, and they all got better. In other words, that is unless there's complicating issues, which of course we then have to adjust to. But in general, a healthy child will get better. This is not dangerous for the children. And regardless of the false narrative, including Delta virus, it's not dangerous for the children. And simple common sense supportive care will deal with the issue. So in my opinion, this demographic does not need this vaccine. If you take the next demographic of 18 to 45 and healthy, the CDC says the survival rate is 99.95%. With treatment, with pre-hospital treatment, I've seen the numbers go near 100%. So same thing, young, healthy adults, there's absolutely no reason to vaccinate them unless you believe in human sacrifice and child sacrifice. And then we can speak about the spiritual consequences of such actions. But from a medical perspective, there is no medical necessity. If you take the next demographic, which is the people that had COVID and have antibodies, well, it's well known to anyone and everyone that natural immunity, naturally developed antibodies are much safer and more effective and give broader immunity than vaccine-induced antibodies. So the next question is, why would I give a demographic that has natural antibodies an injection that produces inferior antibodies? Well, the answer is not for medical reasons, because they don't need it. Now, the last group, which is the older than 45 or those patients that have medical problems, yes, that's a concerning group. That's a group that has a mortality rate on average globally of 7.5%, which is absolutely unacceptable. However, with proper treatment, proper prophylaxis, and proper antiviral treatment, we can reduce that death rate to less than 1%. So then comes the question, well, what is the risk versus benefit analysis? Should we vaccinate these people or not? Well, that will depend on how efficacious and safe the vaccine is, which will segue into our next kind of segment. But I am making the argument that, and by the way, I'm not anti-vaccine. If there was a good COVID-19 vaccine that was safe and effective, I would advocate for it, but that's not the case. And for that reason, at this point in time, there is, in my opinion, zero medical necessity for this vaccine, the currently existing vaccines, and the risk versus benefit analysis favors do not treat, do no harm, do no harm. Just like King David says, stay away from bad, do good and live. This is stay away from bad type of stuff. I think the next topic should be efficacy, and then we'll dedicate safety to a whole segment.
Sure, go ahead and address that. Yeah.
So efficacy, does it work? Well, I don't know, let's see. What are the two main countries in the world that have vaccinated the most of their citizens? Well, one is Israel, and two is the island nation in the Indian Ocean called Seychelles. Both have vaccinated at least once more than 85% of their population, right? So those would be countries to study to see if they're doing well, right? Because they're the most vaccinated, right? And the vaccine is supposed to be good for us. Well, turns out both countries are having huge outbreaks of Delta variant. So what does that mean?
They're not
Can't
working.
Blame the unvaccinated.
Yeah.
So what's going on here? So the answer is they're not working, and that now advocating a third booster. So my simple question is, the first two didn't work, why would the third work? So there, and if you look at the, I'll show you later information where you can actually download it or look at it yourself, where at every single point that a country, any country started vaccinating their population, we know the dates, it's an inflection point of death. You see a skyrocketing point rate of death, which is absolutely horrific and appalling.
We're following the global statistics of about vaccine infections around the world, and every single nation, as you mentioned, like Gibraltar, for example, they say that they have 100% adult vaccination rate. And yet that nation, Israel, UK, you name it, that has these high vaccination rates, the Delta variant is skyrocketing. There's more people infected in Israel right now than ever during the peak of the coronavirus, and yet they're one of the most vaccinated nations on the planet. And in fact, the Israeli health minister just recently came out and said that of those who are hospitalized, 64.5% have been fully immunized with both shots. Of those who are seriously ill, that accounts for 67% of those who have been fully immunized. So you not only have them getting the virus, but they're actually appearing to even have more severe consequences from the virus than those who never had the shot in the first place. But we keep pushing this, and they keep saying, well, it's safe and effective. But you're seeing in reality here in the United States and globally that even before we get to safety, does it work? And the answer is clearly no, it's not working.
And we're seeing that it's being also pushed on pregnant women. I mean, as a doctor, you don't normally prescribe things for pregnant women that haven't been clearly tested, do you?
Unless I want to cause miscarriages.
There you go.
And we'll talk about that in a subsequent program about the safety or lack thereof. And one of the consequences that we're seeing is an incredible amount of miscarriages. Mm. Our very special guest is Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, and he developed the very first therapeutic treatment against COVID after praying to God to seek counsel. How should we treat this? How should he treat it with his patients that are his family and his community? And from that came the very first therapeutic treatment of the world to address this COVID. And it's very, very, very effective, which includes hydroxychloroquine and other nutraceuticals, ivermectin, C, D, zinc, NAC, and others that he has outlined. You can find more about Dr. Zelenko on our webpage, lc.org/vaccine. Scroll down to the treatment section. Down there, you'll be able to find a link to be able to follow Dr. Zelenko and read the information yourself. Be informed and be aware of this particular issue, because it is the most serious threat to freedom and, frankly, to the sanctity of human life. We're going to be talking about that further as we go into this program this week on Faith and Freedom.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.
You keep hearing that it's safe and effective, but today we're going to ask the question, is it really safe? I'm talking about the COVID shots. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, and our very special guest is Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. He is an Orthodox Jew, a practicing physician, board certified in family practice for 20 years, nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize with regards to addressing the coronavirus pandemic, the first in the world to develop therapeutics after he prayed to God for an answer as to how to treat his patients in New York and his community. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Dr. Zelenko.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Zelenko, it's certainly a privilege to have you on this program, and our prayers are with you in your speaking to this issue. We keep hearing the fact that it's safe and effective, and in fact, we are inundated, like your practice was, with so many of the COVID patients coming to you. We are inundated now by employers and hospitals and schools and the military forcing people with a very short window of time to get these shots in order to work, to go to school, to serve our country. The question we've already addressed is, do we even need it? You said no. The second one is it actually effective? What's the efficacy? And you've clearly indicated it's not effective to prevent COVID viruses or variants. But let's now talk about, is it safe? Can you address that issue?
Yes, of course. And thank you again for having me. So you have to look at safety in three different time periods, acute, subacute, and long term, because there are different issues at play. From the moment of injection till around 3 months, the main issue and the main cause of death is blood clots. The Salk Institute from San Diego published a foundational paper explaining the mechanism of death, which is basically that your body becomes a spike producing factory, making trillions of spikes that then line your endothelium, which is the inner lining of your blood vessels, creating little thorns. And when your blood cells, the red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets, namely platelets, flow through those vessels, they get damaged by those spikes, leak their contents, and induce a clotting immune response. Now, if that were to happen in the heart, that would cause a heart attack. That would to happen in the brain, God forbid, that's a stroke, and so on. So what we're seeing is death from clots. Most of them are happening within the first 3 days after vaccine, 40% actually. The rest happen at decreasing rates up to 3 months. And so that is a major concern. And the other issue is myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart. Seems to affect young men more, which is damaging the hearts of men. And the third issue, which I find even the most disturbing, is that there's evidence that it's increasing the rate of miscarriages in the first trimester of women. And that's based on data reported by the New England Journal of Medicine, even though they don't come to that conclusion, obviously. But if you go through and sift through the garbage of their analysis, you'll find out that those women that were vaccinated in the first trimester had an 82% miscarriage rate compared to the national average, which is 10%. Now, to be honest, this is preliminary data. As more pregnancy data comes in and more women reach completion in this study, the numbers may change. But I acknowledge that. But the point is, at this point in time, we're seeing potentially a massive increase in miscarriage rate. And women who are pregnant have always been the last that we experiment with. So my argument is, if there is such a potential risk, then we should leave pregnant women alone and prophylax them with proven strategies that will reduce the risk from COVID. I'm not denying that there's a risk from COVID, but we have effective and safe prophylactic procedures and not expose them to this danger of this vaccine.
How many years as a doctor do you think it typically takes for a typical vaccine to be properly tested before it goes out into the population?
Well, it's not what I think. It's the medical precedent. The history proves that it's 7 to 10 years, depending on the vaccine. This came to market from lab use to human use in less than a year. So I may understand the urgency to bring something to market, but that doesn't negate the fact that we have not excluded long-term or even shorter-term consequences of these vaccinations, and we really don't know the efficacy. So I think to say that, look, I'm all for informed consent. In other words, you can tell a patient the truth, let the patient weigh the risks versus benefit, and then make a decision if they want to be part of this human experiment. However, to go and say that these are safe and that they're approved is an outright lie, and it's a false narrative, and it's designed to confuse people into a course of action, which may be very dangerous to them. The most concerning part of these vaccines is the subacute concern, which is from 3 months to 3 years, but I'll leave that for last because it takes time to develop. The long-term consequences, they're threefold that we're beginning to see or aware of. One is we're already seeing a huge spike in autoimmune diseases. So my argument is, how do we know that's gonna, how is that gonna affect the longevity of humanity? I don't know, but I'm sure not having a long-term chronic disease is not helpful. Number two, there are papers coming out that show that it causes the increase of cancer, that it suppresses anti-cancer mechanisms in the body. And then the fertility concerns, there's plenty of evidence that this stuff collects in the ovaries and in the sperm and reduces ovarian function and sperm count. So what are the long-term consequences on fertility? No one could tell you because we haven't ruled anything out. We haven't studied it. So there's a big unknown here, right? Now, the subacute concern, which I'm going to spend the rest of the segment on, is really what is the immunologist's worst nightmare. And what I'm about to tell you is not me telling you, but a collection of opinions and statements of world-class leaders in the field. So for example, Dr. Luc Montagnier, who won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for discovering HIV, is screaming that this is the biggest risk of genocide in the history of humanity. Dr. Delo Cahill, the leading immunologist from Ireland, is on record saying that she believes that within 2 years, 90% of the vaccinated population will be dead. Dr. Robert Malone, who invented the delivery technology for the mRNA vaccine, is considered one of the world experts on the mRNA vaccine, is screaming to people, do not take this vaccine. The government is lying to you. He's also seeing the beginnings of what I'm about to explain. And Dr. Michael Yidden, who was the vice president of Pfizer, maybe you heard of that company.
Yes.
And
we've interviewed him.
Oh, okay, great. So he was the head of the vaccine development programs for Pfizer, is saying that for every one child that dies naturally from COVID, 100 will die from the vaccine. So what is the concern? What is the concern? Here's in the 1960s, we developed a vaccine for RSV. We gave it to children. The children died. Why? It wasn't from RSV, it was from the immune reaction. They developed antibodies. And then when the organism or the child was challenged with RSV, the antibodies exploded and killed the children. That's called antibody-dependent enhancement or pathogenic priming or paradoxical immune enhancement. They're different terms, but all describing the same phenomenon where your immune system kills you. Not every immune reaction is healthy. Autoimmune diseases, for example, your body's immune system attacks you, and you can see that. So that's an unhealthy immune reaction. Whereas in general, we think of the immune system to be helpful, which it is. But in certain circumstances, like right now, we're really concerned about antibody-dependent enhancement. In the 1970s, in the dengue fever virus vaccines, did the same thing. They had this AD reaction, killed people. And then through recent history, all the attempts to develop a coronavirus vaccine ended up killing the organisms, the animals that they were tested on, because of ADE. So here's my question. Wouldn't it make sense to exclude this potential ADE consequence in human beings before you globally deploy a program to vaccinate 7 billion people?
Yeah,
that's common
Unless
sense.
Unless you have a broader agenda of eugenics to depopulate the world. And we're going to be talking about that tomorrow and on the next program and addressing more aspects of this issue regarding COVID and particularly the shots and the consequences thereof with our very special guest, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. You can go to lc.org/vaccine for lots of information there on this and other issues regarding COVID and these shots. lc.org/vaccine.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.
So what if you're one of the individuals who've had the COVID shot, or maybe you know somebody who has had one of these shots? What do you do? We're going to be talking about that and addressing this issue with our very special guest, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Dr. Zelenko, for those people who've already had one of these COVID shots or a series of them, or know of someone who has, whether they have adverse reactions or not, what do they do? What kind of hope would you give them in terms of addressing the fact that they've already made this decision?
Well, there is hope, but the first thing to do is don't do it again. You know, don't make the same mistake. Learn from your mistakes and move forward. God accepts repentance. I think that's very important because there are people contemplating even taking boosters. Now, so don't do it. Now, if you are vaccinated, then according to world-leading scientists, the antibodies that you have inside you are dangerous, and they're potentially a bomb waiting to detonate. Now, if you understand the nature of the problem, we can then devise approaches that could mitigate the risk. And I have some. So, for example, in the first 3 months, since I told you last segment that the main issue is blood clots, well, then the approach should be to take something that will prevent blood clots. So, for example, I would suggest either aspirin or NAC, you know, depending, of course, on your medical situation. Now, but the main issue is from after that, so from 3 months to, let's say, 3 years, that's when the dreaded antibody-dependent enhancement consequences is really concerning us. And unfortunately, according to Dr. Robert Malone, again, he was the inventor of the delivery technology for the mRNA vaccines, who's saying don't take it. He's reporting that the CDC is seeing the beginnings of potentially ADE already, because the viral loads, viral titers in the noses of vaccinated patients are much higher than those that are unvaccinated. And he, according to him, that is a sign of a potential ADE reaction. So this is very real. And the concern, of course, is in the fall and in the winter when we're all about to be challenged with these viral infections. So my advice is, I consider anyone who's vaccinated, regardless of age, as a 95-year-old nursing home resident. And I would prophylax them with that degree of intensity. So a person who has these antibodies should not get COVID ever. And the only way you're not going to get COVID is not by taking another vaccine, but rather taking antiviral prophylaxis that has been shown to be extremely effective.
So let me clarify what you just said. A person who's had the shots should not get COVID. Are you meaning that they should not get COVID or that they cannot get COVID?
If they get COVID, they'll die.
In other words, they should do everything possible to avoid getting COVID.
And that was a statement that if they get COVID, they potentially will die because of the antibodies produced by the vaccines. Again, that's not me saying that; it's the world expert saying that. So I'm always gonna defer to people that are much more qualified than me. I just have a big mouth, and I really feel like we need to share this information so that people have the counter narrative, and then they have all the information available to them so they can make an informed choice.
So in other words, the people who have the shot ought to do what other people who've not had the shot do, and that is follow the prophylactic treatments that you're talking about or that you actually developed early on.
And build your immune system.
Kind of, but there are different levels of intensity of prophylaxis. And someone who is in the low risk category, I don't recommend prophylaxis. Someone in the moderate risk, I may recommend one of the over-the-counter options. What I'm saying is I'm escalating any patient who has these antibodies produced by the vaccine as a extremely high risk patient, analogous to a 95-year-old nursing home resident. And that means that I would prophylax them aggressively. I don't care if it's a 10-year-old. That's what I'm trying to say. So I would use the 50 caliber machine gun approach. I would use hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, vitamin C, zinc, and D as a prophylactic approach in vaccinated patients. Idea being that this will prevent them from ever getting it. And if they do get it, God forbid, you have to start treating them with the most aggressive treatment approaches available at a start of a runny nose. And the reason why I say that is because you cannot risk a detonation of these bombs. Now, I would hope that over time, these antibodies would fade in terms of concentration and intensity, and that the risk will decrease. But I can't tell you that because this is all new. But what I could tell you is that the theoretical risk of a genocide exists enough that world-leading Nobel laureates, vaccine inventors of this technology, leaders, former leaders of pharmaceutical industries and top immunologists around the world are saying, slow down, boy, do not take this stuff. The risks of global death have not been excluded.
So on this particular issue, do you have that information that people can access on your website, which is one I have here, is VladimirZelenkoMD.com?
Yes. And just in terms of, again, you have to stratify. You have to put yourself in the right category. That's the key. Now, a 10-year-old would be in the category of don't do anything. However, a 10-year-old who has been vaccinated, in my opinion, is someone who should be treated like a 95-year-old and go into the high-risk category for prophylaxis.
Wow.
That information is available.
Yes. And we're going to have that website. We have that at our website already at lc.org/vaccine. You can go down to the treatment section, and you'll be able to link directly to Dr. Vladimir Zelenko's website. And his direct website is VladimirZelenkoMD.com. But again, you can get to that for your research, and I encourage you to do so at lc.org/vaccine under the treatment section of that page.
May I want to say something.
Please.
To your audience, please don't believe me. Do your own research. Take the information. I'm giving you very specific information with names and addresses. Do your own research. Use your powers of logical thinking and analytical thought and deductive reasoning and come to your own conclusions. Don't make the same mistake with me like you did with the government. Don't believe. There's no more blind faith anymore. So I'm not preaching here. I'm just informing you of a counter narrative that I believe to be true. You are responsible for your own decisions. You have free choice. You have consciousness. Do your research and then make the best decision that you feel is right for you and your family.
Well, that is very good advice, because right now you have, and we've had periods of history, and we had it during the Nazi Germany time. We had it during the social Darwinian ideology that rejects that you're made in the image of God and that people could simply be eliminated to evolve a better human race, and it was put on steroids by Adolf Hitler. And yet the medical community and all the different communities and even the religious community to some extent just followed the Pied Piper, and they didn't do their own research. And we wonder, why did they do that? And here we are in the 21st century, in 2021, and we're doing the same thing. And so what Dr. Zelenko just said is, do your own research. There's a lot there. Don't go to PolitiFact and don't go to Snopes to find out whether something is true or false. You're not going to get truth from the front pages of the New York Times. And just because the CDC says it or the NIH says it or even the FDA says it doesn't mean that it's the gospel truth, that you've got to do your own research, and there's a lot of research that's available. Dr. Zelenko, in the last 30 seconds of this particular program, what would you like to say to our listeners? Tomorrow, by the way, we're going to address the issue of the spiritual component that is part of this as well.
Don't live in fear and don't be isolated. Those are the tools that are used to manipulate human behavior into a pattern of self-destruction. And anxiety lives in the psychological space where God is absent. So fill that void with faith.
Turn off the nightly news,
yeah,
right?
Very well said. Very well said. Well, our very special guest has been Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, first developer of therapeutic treatment for COVID. And that is all available on his website, VladimirZelenkoMD.com. But you can also research that website by going to ours, lc.org/vaccine. I would encourage you to pay specific attention under adverse reactions and personal stories and treatment. Those three alone, spend time. You can spend hours and hours there and do your own research. lc.org/vaccine.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.
On today's program with Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, our very special guest, we're going to address the issue of the spiritual component. Is there a broader issue that we should be considering and open our eyes to? We need to see this from God's perspective. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me here on Faith and Freedom is Holly Mee. Dr. Zelenko, welcome to Faith and Freedom. Let's address, we've done many of these different aspects, the specifics about the spiritual component. Is there a broader issue at stake here?
So thanks again for having me. It's a war against God. And what I mean by that is that there are two systems of thought that cannot coexist anymore. One is that God is our creator. Happy birthday, because he's making us every second from nothing. So it's a chronic process of recreation, ex nihilo. And we're made in his image. If we're made in his image, our lives have sanctity. If our lives have sanctity, we have human rights, and it's not in the realm of another human being to decide how many of us belong on the planet and how long we should live. That's one system. The other system is the Darwin survival of the fittest and Galton's eugenics approach, which basically says that there's a genetic hierarchy, dominance hierarchy, and that the people at the top of that dominance hierarchy who are bust adapted to, for survival, are the ones that could dictate what happens to the people lower on that hierarchy. So that inevitably devolves into three categories of people: the Übermensch, the superhuman, or like Kant would call the Superman. And that's what the superhuman, and then the Mensch, the human, and the Untermensch, the subhuman. Now, this sounds like a fairy tale, except that it killed 200 million people 80 years ago, because he had the Nazi ideology was that they were superhumans, descendants from Nordic gods, and therefore the Aryans were on top of the dominance hierarchy and then could dictate what happens to everyone else. So the humans, the mentioned, were the Anglo-Saxons, the Europeans, who were meant to be enslaved to serve the superhumans, and the Untermenschen, the subhumans, which I belong to, with the Jews, the Gypsies, the Slavs, the handicapped, the political prisoners, all those were meant to be vaporized into dust in crematoriums. And personally, I had 40 relatives buried alive in near Kiev in a place called Babi Yar. So this is very real. And if people think that this ideology went away, they're mistaken. It went to maybe dormant and to sleep for a few decades, and now it's resurfaced. And it's resurfaced in a very interesting way. It's not anti-Semitic, in my opinion. It's more of a group of what they consider themselves as evolved intellectuals. I consider them devolved pagans, but they consider themselves as illuminated people of that have higher levels of consciousness, and therefore they feel entitled to make statements like in 2015, Bill Gates at a TED lecture said, in his opinion, the world population needs to be reduced by 15%. Now, who says that? A sociopath, someone who's a wannabe deity, someone who actually feels entitled to dictate how many human beings should live on this planet. You know, I have a joke, it's not a joke, but the whole world is suffering because Bill Gates couldn't find a girlfriend in high school. But yeah. He's taking out his anger on humanity by trying to kill people. And in 2020, the same Bill Gates said that 7 billion people must be vaccinated. So first question is, why would I want to take a vaccine from someone for my health? I mean, a vaccine for my health, from someone who's advocating for the decrease in the world population. I mean, you have to be a in a mass psychosis to accept that argument. So these people who are these devolved pagans on top really feel entitled to make policies that will reduce lifespan and will reduce the number of people on the planet. And so this is a direct affront to God. This is a war for God consciousness. These people want to take and use fear and use isolation as psychological tactics to psychiatrically decompensate people to a place where they're open to do completely irrational, and they become very gullible and they do irrational things, like take a poison death liquid that has no safety, doesn't work, and it's completely medically unnecessary, and yet people are running to do it. And something you mentioned last time, which I disagree with, is no one's being forced. You see, you can be coerced, you could be pressured, but ultimately it's a decision of the individual. And I recommend, do not sacrifice your precious future for a few conveniences in the present. I rather sacrifice in the present so that I can maintain a future and my fertility and the fertility of my children and the lives of my children. So you have to keep perspective. This is a challenge from God. He is testing every single human being with the following question, in my opinion. He's saying, who are you going to bow down to? I know you're scared. I know there's uncertainty. Are you going to ask me to resolve your fears and to surround you with a cloud of glory of protection? Or, because I will, or are you going to run to the false god of this vaccine, of government, of sociopaths? Because if you choose to do that, then let's see how that works out for you, from your choice. Because ultimately, it's a human choice. And what I'm trying to do, and I've spent every ounce of my energy to do so, is to bring a counter narrative and another perspective to human beings so that they could make a choice that's based on accurate information. I will not make that choice for them, nor should I. Ultimately, every person is responsible for their relationship with God. And I personally believe that I will submit to the will of God, and I would rather die standing with my faith intact than live on my knees bowing down to false gods.
And so for those of you who are facing this, because we are getting inundated more than any other time in our history since 1981 with calls from people, literally some people crying on the phone, weeping because their job of 20 or 30 years is being jeopardized. They said, if you don't get the shot, you'll be terminated within the next few weeks. Students, people in the military that signed up after 9/11 to fight for this country are being told, if you don't get the shot, you will be court-martialed and dishonorably discharged. Stand your post, stand your ground, and make the same choice that Daniel did. Dr. Zelenko, in terms of this issue, it is a worldview issue. And, you know, in that TED Talk where he says you need to reduce the population by 15%, one of the ways he mentions, ironically, interestingly, is he mentions vaccines mm-hmm. as well, to vaccinate everybody on the planet. He mentions reproductive care, health, which is abortion, aborting children made in the image of God, and vaccines, and he mentions it in the same part one of a four-part plan to reduce carbon emissions down to zero, reducing the population. So what other spiritual insights that would you like to share? What are you seeing happen, and what are the final words that you want to say to our audience here that are listening over the next 30 seconds?
I have terminal cancer. You know, I should have statistically been dead 3.5 years ago. And I've never really been sure why God keeps me around. But at this point, it seems rather obvious, which is that I was thrust to be at the tip of the spear of a global crime, and was able to reverse engineer the mechanics of the worst crime in history. And I could tell you one thing, the only solution here is to stand your ground with faith, because only faith will protect you from the onslaught of such evil. And you'll see, I really believe, and I live with this every single day, that we all begin to die from the moment we're born, okay? No one knows how long they're gonna live. That's not relevant. It's not relevant how you're gonna die. It's relevant how you live. And what you can do is control your thoughts, your speech, and your actions, and you can sanctify yourself and the world around you by giving glory to God and putting God's will first. And that will protect you. That's the best prophylaxis, in my opinion.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Zelenko, for your amazing words and your insight. For more information on how to contact Dr. Zelenko, you can go to lc.org/vaccine. lc.org/vaccine. Scroll down to the treatment section.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.